Probably if I asked you to pick one word which you have learnt about or sung about in church from your earliest days and in Sunday school or children's church or whatever, it wouldn't be too long until most of us came up with this word, love. Because if you sat and looked through the hymn book, the number of hymns which focus in on love, the Sunday school stories that are based on God's love for us and our love for each other, it just pervades all that we are. And yet, the sad thing is, it's probably one of the things that we so easily get wrong in the church. It is often the thing that we miss in the church. One of the other sad things about some aspects of our church life is that in many ways we strive to be correct in doctrine and theology, and that is important. But we do so to the extent that we become obsessed with every little detail of doctrine and theology. Every I has to be dotted, every T has to be crossed, everything has to be right in its tiniest detail. And we do that and we neglect that very basic biblical command to love one another. It is so easy to be orthodox in our theology, to be sound in our theology, and yet to be so cold in our hearts. And so when we read of love being one of the fruit of the Spirit, part of the fruit of the Spirit, it is surely to give us that warmth back in our hearts that we risk losing by being focused on rules and regulations. Jesus was very often in confrontation with the Pharisees as they did this. The Pharisees over the years had carefully built up this system of rules and regulations so that as they kept those, they would be less likely to break the important law of God. They would observe every little detail of those rules and regulations. As they prepared food for a meal, they would take a tenth of the herbs they had prepared and they would set them to one side for God. They were meticulous about observing these rules and regulations, and yet they were very judgmental and hard towards those who didn't quite keep them. And they were lacking in love. It seems to have been a problem in the early church as well. Paddy read for us that very famous and very lovely passage from 1 Corinthians 13. But if you were to read the chapter before and the chapter afterwards, it puts the whole thing in context. Because the chapter before, Paul gives examples of the Corinthian church almost boasting about the gifts that they had, but not showing much love. They were looking at the gifts that they had and saying of others, well, we don't need your gift, or you don't need my gift, or I'm not needed in this body. And 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, no, we all need each other. We all need each other. And obviously in that early church, there were stresses and strains as people struggled to work out whose was the most important gift? Who was the most important person around here? And then we move into this lovely chapter 13, which defines for us what real love looks like. The following chapter then shows how love works itself out with those spiritual gifts, the two things working together, using the gifts God has given to us in love. But this chapter 13 starts with some amazing and also humbling pictures. When we're told, even if you speak the tongues in the tongues of men and of angels, so speaking all those languages not only around us, but also languages of angels. Can you imagine being able to speak those worshipful language of that worshipful language of angels? And the Bible says, even if you can do that, and you have no love, forget it. Imagine having the gift of faith or unlimited knowledge that you just know the right thing. Wonderful gift. Or the gift of faith that can move mountains. Amazing. Or imagine that you make that supreme sacrifice and give yourself up. Give your body to the flames the Bible talks about. Give yourself up. Wonderful things. They're all amazing. But here's the point in this passage. If those things are not grounded in and flowing out of love, then they are absolutely nothing. Even though you can speak all and understand all these languages, even though you have the very language of angels, you're just a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Just noise. Because there's no love. You may have those gifts of prophecy, of knowledge, and of faith, but if they're not exercised in love, there's nothing. You may give up your life, but if it's not done in love, there's nothing. It accomplishes nothing. It's sobering. Because we look at all these things and we tend to look up at people who can do all these things, who are all these things, who demonstrate and manifest all these things, and we look up to them, and the Bible simply says, well, listen, if they're not done in love, forget it. It's pointless, it's worthless. And those wonderful things, if not motivated by love, achieve nothing. Sobering. So what does this love that we're called to look like? Well, I don't know whether we can get verses 4 to 8 up on the screen, Graham, but let me read them for you. And I'm going to read them and suggest, as we've done before, that whenever it says love in the passage, you take that out and pop your name in. And so it reads, Stephen is patient. Stephen is kind. Stephen does not envy. Stephen does not boast. Stephen is not proud. And on it goes. And I don't know about you, but that's uncomfortable reading for me. Pride yourself. Sit down with that passage this afternoon and just pop your own name into that and see how you feel. The fact that we would feel uncomfortable about it just demonstrates our need to grow in love, because we know that we don't demonstrate these things. We know that we fail in these things. And it's uncomfortable. Now, of course, no one of us will ever get it completely right this side of heaven. But if we're growing in our Christian faith, we should also be growing in love. A Christian love that is forgiving, that is sacrificial, that wants the best for others. As you look back over the last months or years, as I do the same, have we grown? Have we grown in our love? Has our love for each other, for those around us, has our love for God, has it deepened, has it strengthened? Or has it just stuck where it was? Surely one of the marks of those who have experienced the very grace of God in their lives, who saturate themselves in God's word, one of the marks will be that we grow in that love. We are blessed in this congregation to have so many folks around who answer this call to love in a whole host of different ways. And I'm always thankful for that. People who just quietly do things and are things that just display that love. On Friday, at a service of thanksgiving for his dad, Peter Hosier spoke so warmly of Ernie and said that his dad never had to tell him these things, he just lived them. And Peter saw them lived. We are blessed of people around us who live this life of love. So let's encourage each other. Some of the books that I enjoy reading to relax are the Ladies Number One Detective Agency series with Mara Motsui. They are just so good. And one of them, one of the characters says this, there is always work for love to do. There is always work for love to do. We never get to the end. We never get to the place where we think, you know what? I don't need to love anymore. I don't need to grow in love anymore. There is always work for love to do. Every church, every fellowship is surrounded by a watching and often skeptical world. Sometimes they look at our buildings. Sometimes they look at how many people go in and out. Maybe they look at how busy we are. In the early church, the comment was, see how these Christians love each other. Above everything else that might have been noticed about that church, it was simply their love for each other which was noticed and remarked on. See how these Christians love each other. What does the world around us see and experience because we're here? Is it their summation that they look at us and simply say, wow, look at how they love each other? Because in a world that often finds more reason to pull each other apart and to divide than we do to come together, the church should be the one place where we demonstrate that unconditional love for each other. A love that reflects the love that God has shown us in Jesus Christ. And that love flows from our own experience of the undeserved love of God in Jesus Christ. And if we haven't experienced that love in our own lives, then it's impossible for us to share it with others. So that's where it starts. No matter how detailed our theological understanding is, that's where it starts, in the love of God shown to us in Jesus Christ. Karl Barth was possibly one of the most influential theologians of the 20th century. Towards the end of his days, as an old man, he was talking to a young theological student. And the student looked at him and said, Professor Barth, what's the most important thing you've ever learned? And the old man's eyes filled up, and he started to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's where it starts. Knowing, experiencing, and being grounded and the love of God shown to us in Jesus Christ. The Bible simply says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is love. This is the love that we're called to reflect in our own lives. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the world around us simply commented, see how these Christians love each other? And it flows from a knowing and a growing. It flows from a knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It flows from a growing in grace, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A knowing and growing. Jesus spoke to his disciples, looked at them and said, by this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. May God give us the grace to hear that call, that command to love as we have been loved. And may God give us the grace to live that love where he places us, all for his glory. Shall we pray together? Lord, we struggle to be loving, and yet you, Lord, are love itself. And so work in us, we pray. Show us, Lord, where our hearts are hard and cold. Soften them by your Holy Spirit, that we, as part of your family, may be known as those who love each other because of Jesus. And to you and you alone, Lord, be all the honor and the glory. Amen.